Well, good morning, Faith family.
Good morning.
Now, I know some of you are probably thinking, what in the heck is Brother Caleb wearing up on stage this morning? Well, this is a shirt that I got on my first mission trip across the pond to India. So this is an Indian shirt. And I thought it was appropriate to wear this morning because we're talking about identity. And identity is who you are. It's not necessarily what you wear. So just because I wear an Indian shirt doesn't make me Indian. Being Indian is identified by what's on the inside, by who you are, by who you associate yourself with and how you live your life. And that's exactly what we're talking about this morning. And so if we pull up the three circles, we've kind of been introducing you guys to the three circles. We talked about chair one, which is come and see. So we're inviting people out of the brokenness of the world to come and see who Jesus is. And then once they get introduced to Jesus, they have a decision to make, whether they are going to follow after Jesus or not. And once we decide to follow after Jesus, we begin to grow. We grow in five different ways that we got listed over there on the left side for you. And that arrow that goes from gospel circle up to God's perfect design kind of represents our growth. We grow in our relationship with Jesus, but we also grow in our understanding of God's perfect design for the world around us and also our individual lives. And so last week, we kind of introduced you to chair two, follow me, and one of the ways in which we grow, feed. And feed is really important because it comes first, and it's by feeding that we learn those other four ways of growing. We learn our identity. We learn how to walk like Jesus, how to talk like Jesus, and how to clean. We cannot learn those other four things apart from being fed and feeding ourselves. So that's why that comes first. Really important. This week, we're going to talk about identity. That is our main focus for this week, how we grow in our identity. So hopefully, after last week, everyone has intentionally grown by feeding over the course of this week. We provided a resource for you, both digitally and a hard copy, that hopefully encouraged you, and it was just a helpful resource for you to grow in your walk by feeding in several different ways. Well, now, as we feed, we learn our identity. And so that brings us to our very first point, which is learning our identity. And our identity is what Richard Foster calls an inward spiritual discipline. So last week, Pastor Allen introduced the concept of spiritual disciplines to us. If you've grown up in church, you're probably familiar with the language of spiritual disciplines. If not, that's fine. Spiritual disciplines are just simple practices, disciplines we put into our life to help us grow, help us become more like Jesus. And if you're familiar with the spiritual discipline world, Richard Foster wrote a book called The Celebration of Discipline, probably one of the more popular books. There are several books that have been written on spiritual disciplines. This is one of the more popular ones. And in there, he identifies three kind of different broad categories for how we grow. One of those is inward spiritual disciplines. And I like thinking about the illustration of a tree. Now, I love trees. We actually named one of our daughters after a tree. But I wanted to kind of bring this up. A tree grows in really three different ways. So we see a tree grows vertically, grows upward. And that is true of our growth. We have to grow up with the Father in the character of Jesus. And so as we grow vertically in our relationship with God the Father, we grow in the character of who Jesus is. But we also, trees don't go just vertically, they also grow horizontally with their branches and the reach that they have. And so as we grow up, we also grow out in the priorities of Jesus with the impact that we have on the world around us. And notice how these two are intimately connected together. A tree's ability to grow horizontally in the impact on the world around us is directly connected to how much it has grown vertically. Have you ever seen a 2-foot tree that has branches spread out like 20 foot? No, because that would be ridiculous. A tree's ability to grow upward is directly connected to its ability to grow outward. And the same is true in our lives. Our growth with the Father and the character of Jesus vitally impacts our horizontal growth on the world around us. But there's also a third way in which trees grow. Trees also grow down into the root system around them. And so that is true in our life as well, that we have to grow into the ground of a deep-rooted stability within ourselves and our community around us. And that's exactly what identity is about. When we grow in our identity, we're growing into the ground of who we are in Christ within ourselves that affects our psychology, our emotions, our thought processes, but also affects our community and those around us as they reinforce positive or negative attitudes that we might be buying into. And so we're going to be talking about how, as a tree grows down into the ground and the root system around it for stability, that is what our identity is about. There's a lot of different verses that talk about how we grow in our identity. Pastor Allen read two of them. Let me revisit those real quick. 2 Corinthians 5:17. It's one of those verses that we want to highlight. Paul tells us this. He says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ," being in Christ, talking about our inward growth, "he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." If you are in Christ, you are a new creation. And baptism is a beautiful picture of this, that when we go down into the waters, we are dying to our old self and being raised to walk in a new life with Christ. That is a beautiful picture representation of what Paul is talking about here in 2 Corinthians 5:17. "I have died to Caleb's way of doing life, and I've been raised to walk like Jesus. I've been raised to conduct myself the way that Jesus tells me to conduct myself and identify with that above every other identity I have in the world." Another verse is 1 John 3:1. John tells us, he says, "See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are." We're not just called children of God. This is our identity. This is who we are. We just sang about it in one of the songs. It's put beautifully that I'm no longer a child of fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer dominated by the things of this world. I am identified as a child of the Most High King. And that changes everything. That is what our identity is about. And so we think about this in light of discipleship. And why does this matter? And that's the question we're going to ask as we kind of work through this. We're going to kind of finish by asking, why does all this matter? And I'm going to leave you guys with a challenge. And I want to put this out there on the front end so you can kind of be thinking about it as we work through it. But we're going to spend most of our time working through Ephesians chapter 1 and Ephesians chapter 2, looking at different identity marks. And at the end of this time, I want to leave you with a challenge to take note of one identity mark within Ephesians that you're living out well in your life and that you can help others live out well, and one that you maybe struggle with identifying as that you can grow in, okay? So be thinking about that. I want to put that out there on the front end because that's where we're headed. So as we think about discipleship, I love how Jim puts it. He says, in real life discipleship, he says, "All good disciple makers don't start out ready. We become ready as we start out." And so this plays out in our identity, because a lot of us view salvation and baptism really as like the finish line. If we can get them saved and get them dunked, then we've done our job. And we need to change that mentality to salvation and baptism is not the finish line. Salvation and baptism is the starting line. It starts our growth. When we think about the three circles, as we're growing in God's perfect design for our lives and for the world around us, as we grow in our relationship with Jesus, that is the starting point of that growth. And so we don't start out knowing it all and making perfect disciples. This is all rooted in the Great Commission that Jesus gave us. Go and make disciples of all nations. As we make disciples, none of us start out ready. At the point of salvation, we don't miraculously turn into amazing disciple makers. No, we're equipped at that point. But as we start out, as we go out and attempt to make disciples, that is how the Spirit works in our lives and makes us ready for that job that He has given us to do. So that brings us to point number two. And this brings us to the book of Ephesians. Point number two is this: who we are in Christ. who we are in Christ. And there's a bunch of different identity marks in the book of Ephesians, really all throughout the Bible, but there is a highly condensed number of them in the book of Ephesians, specifically the first three chapters. We're not going to look at all three chapters this morning. We're actually just going to look at the first two chapters, but there's a ton of identity marks of who we are in Christ throughout the book of Ephesians, and I want to highlight those for you. If you've got a Bible, man, I really encourage you to open that up and look at it and kind of mark these yourselves. If you are a Bible marker like me, I encourage you to mark this up. Even if you got a digital copy, you can highlight those in your digital copy. You can underline those. Mark these different identity marks as we kind of work through them and discuss what they mean for our lives. So again, looking at who we are in Christ. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 1, Paul says this. He says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus. There's our first identity marker. If you are in Christ, you are a saint. Now, I work with these group of students over here that many of you are parents to, and you might be thinking, my child ain't a saint. Well, and that may be something that we as well struggle with. As we look at our lives, I think any of us can take an honest evaluation of our life and quickly come to the conclusion that I'm not perfect. I don't live out my life perfectly in Christ. And that's true for every single one of us. But what Paul is saying here, he's not equating sainthood with perfection. That is a cultural misunderstanding that a lot of times we kind of associate somebody who's a saint with somebody who lives their life perfectly for the Lord. And that's not what Paul is communicating. In fact, I think Scripture is very clear that none of us are perfect. Even this side of salvation, none of us are perfect. We still have this battle raging within us with the flesh, with sin, that we have to battle against. Paul himself struggled with that and makes it very clear that this was a struggle for him post-salvation. And so he's not equating sainthood with perfection. He's saying that we are saints in Jesus Christ, that through our justification, when God looks upon us, he has declared us as saints, as perfect in his sight, even though we still struggle with living out that perfection. This is a process of living who we are. And so, identification number one is that you and I are saints if we are in Christ Jesus. Identification number two, move on to verse two. It says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. There's another identity mark. We are recipients of God's grace and peace. Now, I've received some pretty fantastic gifts throughout my life. And I imagine that's true for most of us. You can think back on a few different gifts that you've been given, and you're like, man, that was an awesome gift that this person gave to me. But none of those gifts, as incredible as they were, compare to the gift that we have been given in Christ Jesus. We are recipients of grace and peace, everlasting grace and peace. And that gift far exceeds any other gift that we've been given. This is who we are, recipients of God's grace and peace. Move on to verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. We are blessed. If you are in Christ, your life is marked by the identity of being blessed. Now, I know we all have different walks in life and different challenges we go through. And this one may be one of the ones that you struggle with identifying as you're walking through maybe a particularly hard season of life where you're finding it difficult to pay your bills, or you got all kinds of family drama and catastrophes going on within your family, or things are just breaking down, your vehicles are breaking down, your house is falling apart. Whatever it is, you may be walking through a really challenging season of life. But that doesn't change our identity. No matter what season of life we're in, we are blessed in Jesus Christ. That is who we are, in both the highs and the lows. This is our identity. Verse 4, he goes on and says, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. We are chosen. God has chosen us to be holy and blameless in his sight. That is our identity. Go on to verse 5. He predestined us, in love he predestined us, for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will. So we, identity mark number 5 here, is that we are predestined for adoption. Now I know the word predestination is a really conflicting term that has lots of baggage behind it. We're not going to get into the workings of that. The main thing I want to focus on this morning is that what we are predestined for. We are predestined for adoption. And I know we got several families in here who have adopted different children in their life, and that is a wonderful and beautiful thing. And each of these families are wonderful families to be adopted into. But again, when we go back to comparison, when we compared a great gift that we've been given compared with the gift of grace and peace that God has given to us, there's no comparison. The same is true of our adoption. Even if we've been adopted into a wonderful family here on earth, it doesn't compare to being adopted into the family of God. I have been adopted into God's family, and I am a part of that lineage, of that heritage, and that is incredible. That is an identity that we have been given in Jesus Christ. Jump down to verse 7. Verse 7, it says, in him, in Jesus, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace. We see two different identity marks here. One, we are redeemed. I have been redeemed as a follower of Jesus Christ. This is my identity, that I am redeemed back into a right relationship with him. As we talk about the three circles, we see that the brokenness is not just the world around us, but the brokenness is inside of me as well. Well, the beauty is that if I am in Christ, that brokenness has been redeemed. I am no longer characterized as broken. I'm characterized as redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. What a wonderful identity mark that Paul gives us here. And the second one is that we are forgiven. And these kind of go hand in hand, being redeemed and being forgiven. But my sins are washed clean. My past, present, and future sins are covered under the blood of Jesus Christ because this is who I am. I am forgiven if I am in Christ. Jump down to verse 9. Verse 9 tells us this. He's carrying on with a sentence. He says, making known to us the mystery of his will according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ. And this one I thought was really unique and kind of cool, that we are insiders into the mystery of his will. That's incredible. I mean, there's lots of things in this world that I don't know, that I'm ignorant of. There's lots of things about God that I'm ignorant of. But to a certain degree, I'm an insider into the mystery of God's will. I can look at this and see God's will, but I also have the Holy Spirit guiding my thoughts and attitudes and heart that gives me an inside glimpse into the mystery of God's will, to see what God is up to. And that is incredible. That is something I have access to that those who have not surrendered to Jesus don't have access to. We have an inside view into the mystery of God's will to understand God's perfect design. We don't have the ability to know God's perfect design apart from being in Christ. So we're insiders into God's, into the mystery of his will. We see a ninth identity mark in verse 10. Look at verse 10. It says, as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. Identity mark number 9 is that we are united. We're united with our brothers and sisters in Christ, but in a different kind of sense, we're also united to the rest of the world, the rest of creation, and the fact that as we work out God's perfect design in the world around us, we are helping creation itself be restored back into the design that God had for it. So that's identity mark number 9. We see a 10th one. Jump down to verse 13. In verse 13, Paul says this. He says, in him, being in Jesus, you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. We are sealed with the Holy Spirit. An amazing truth. Nothing can take that away from us. We have been sealed with the Holy Spirit and marked as a child of God. Jump down to verse 18, and we see the 11th and last one that I'm going to highlight here in chapter 1. Verse 18, Paul tells us this. He says, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you. What are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints? And so I phrase it this way, that we are enlightened. Having the eyes of your hearts enlightened. If we are in Christ, then we are enlightened. It kind of connects to some of those other identity marks that we've talked about, but we are enlightened to know that, man, there is a spiritual realm, a spiritual world around us that we are connected to. There is an eternal purpose and destiny for each of our lives. We are enlightened with that knowledge. We have an enlightened state of being. That is who we are in Christ. And so 11 different truths about who we are in Christ. And that's just after chapter 1. There's a ton of awesome identity marks all throughout Ephesians. And we're going to get to some more of those in chapter 2. But in chapter 2, Paul kind of transitions a little bit. Chapter 1, it was almost all about who we are in Christ. Beautiful, amazing, life-changing identity marks. But then he shifts in chapter 2, and this brings us to point number 3. He talks about who we were apart from Christ. So chapter 1, who we are in Christ. Chapter 2, who we were, who we used to be apart from Christ. Verse 1, he says, and you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked. So we were dead in our trespasses. This is what we are identified as dead people in our sins, verse 1. Verse 2, in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience. Several different identity marks there that we see. One is that apart from Christ, we were following the course of this world. We were just a herd of cattle walking towards eternal damnation, eternal separation from God the Father. We were following the course of this world. When you think about the brokenness of the world, we were one of the squiggly lines trying to escape the brokenness of the world to no avail, realizing that it just led to a dead end that didn't do any good for us. We were following the course of this world along with everybody else. We see another identity mark in verse 2, that we were following Satan. It doesn't say Satan in the ESV, but following the prince of the power of the air. Let me give you a clue. That's Satan. The prince of the power of the air. Paul is talking about Satan there. We were followers of Satan. Now, I doubt many of us would identify us as Satan worshipers prior to Christ. But in essence, that's who we were. We're either following God or we're following Satan. Those are really the two options given to us in Scripture. Whether we identify as a worshiper of Satan or not, that's who we were apart from Christ. We were following Satan. The other identity mark we see in this verse is that we are sons of disobedience. Sons of disobedience. Because we are following Satan, because we're following the course of this world, we are living in disobedience. That is a mark of who our lives are apart from Jesus. Paul goes on. Verse 3. This is a pretty ugly picture of who we are apart from Christ. Unfortunately, it doesn't get any better. It keeps getting worse. Verse 3, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. We were children of wrath. Now, how many of you would love to be identified as a children of wrath. I've been identified as that before. When I get in trouble with my parents, I am a child of wrath. I am receiving the wrath of my parents for doing something foolish. And rightfully so. But that is never a lovely position to be in. We are identified as children of wrath when we are separated from Christ. Jump down to verse 12. We see a sixth identity mark of who we are apart from Christ. And this one kind of lays it out. We're separated from Christ. Remember, verse 12, that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. We are separated from Christ, and because we're separated from Christ, we're alienated from the commonwealth of Israel. We're aliens from that. Think of all the blessings that were given to Israel and to the people of God. We are alienated from that. We are not recipients of that. That's who we are apart from Christ. So we're separated from Christ. We're alienated from the commonwealth of Israel. We're strangers to the covenants of promise. Again, going back to the promises that were given to Abraham and to Moses and to the nation of Israel, we are not recipients of any of those promises separated from Christ. And we're strangers to the covenants of promise, and we are, because of all those things, we are without hope and without God. Four identity marks in one verse of who we are apart from Jesus. When we are separated from Jesus, when we are not in this chair, but in this chair, this is a picture of who we are when we haven't surrendered our lives over to Jesus. We're without hope, without God. Two more identity marks that I want to note in chapter 2. One is in verse 17. Verse 17, Paul tells us, "And he came and preached peace to you who were far off and peace to those who are near." So identity mark there, who we are apart from Christ, we were far off. We were a long way from experiencing the goodness and mercy and blessings of Jesus, of being in a right relationship with God the Father. We were far off from that. And the last identity mark is in verse 18. Verse 18, chapter 2, verse 18 says, "For through him we both have access in one spirit to the Father." Sorry, verse 19. I read the wrong verse. Verse 19. "So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God." And so, verse 19, we see that we are strangers and we are aliens. Strangers and aliens to the things of God. And so, chapter 2, we see 11 different tragic realities of who we were apart from Christ. 11 tragic realities about who everyone is who has not decided to follow me. And so this is why we have to be intentional about inviting the lost in our lives to come and see Jesus. Because those 11 traits that Paul just laid out for us, everyone who is right here, that is who they are. That is their identity. It's an ugly picture. This is who we are apart from Christ. This is why we have to be intentional to invite them into who Jesus is, to be exposed to the grace and mercy and loving kindness that Jesus offers for them, to allow them to change their identity and follow after Jesus. And as we grow in our identity, this is what compels us to go back into the brokenness of the world and to bring them to Jesus. So as we continue to grow in our identity of who we are in Jesus, we are compelled to go back into the brokenness of the world and invite them to come and see. But thankfully, Paul does not leave us with a tragic picture. He, even in chapter 2 and all throughout Ephesians, he ends with a high note, not focused on who we were apart from Christ. But no, the majority of his focus is on who we now are in Christ. And that is a beautiful picture. And so you notice we skipped a lot of verses in chapter 2. I want to go back through, and this brings us to point number 4, back to who we are in Christ. Yes, it's the exact same point of chapter 2. That's not a typo. But I wanted to focus on not necessarily who we were apart from Christ, but come back and refocus on who we now are as followers of Jesus. I trust that the majority of us in this room have surrendered and committed our lives to Jesus. And if that is true, then I want to focus mostly on who we are, growing in our identity of who we now are in Christ. And so Ephesians chapter 2, look at verse 4. He lays out a terrible picture of who we were apart from Christ in the first 3 verses, but then he has a major transition in verse 4. But God, in the midst of us being dead in our trespasses, following Satan, following the course of this world, being sons of disobedience, being children of wrath, in the midst of that, God stepped in and changed all that. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us. Identity mark number 1 in chapter 2 is that we are loved. Because of the love of God, our identity of who we are apart from Jesus can change. Because God loved us so much and stepped into our world, stepped into the brokenness of my individual life and the world around me, that can change. We are loved. We are made alive, we see in verse 5. Even when we were dead in our trespasses, God made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. We are made alive, in verse 5, also another identity mark, we are saved. We are made alive through our salvation in Jesus Christ. In verse 6, he says, and God raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We are seated with God. Man, imagine that. Just think about like how incredible it would be to sit next to the president of the United States or the most powerful person in the world. That is a very privileged seat and privileged position. We have an even greater position than that. We are not seated with the most powerful person in the world. We are seated next to God. We are seated with God. We've been raised up with Christ and seated with him in the heavenly places. Amazing identity of who we are. Verse 7, we see that we are recipients of the riches and grace and kindness of God. Let's read verse 7, chapter 2, verse 7. It says, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Recipients of the riches, grace, and kindness of Christ Jesus. Jumping down to verse 10. It says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We are God's workmanship. Another identity mark. We are being formed and shaped by God into a beautiful image. That is who we are. And the last one I want to focus on in chapter 2, we find in verse 19. Verse 19 we read earlier, but we're going to revisit it. It says, so then, you are no longer strangers and aliens. So this is who you were, strangers and aliens. But in Christ, you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. Man, as great as it is to be an American citizen, I am thankful to know that I am a citizen of an even greater kingdom. A greater kingdom that doesn't have the mess of our kingdom, which arguably may be one of the best kingdoms that's ever existed. But man, as good as America can be, our citizenship in the kingdom of heaven is way, way better. And that is who I am. I am a citizen of the kingdom of God. How awesome. So 7 more amazing truths about who we are in Christ. And these 7 truths that we just looked at in chapter 2, these are in addition to the 11 identity marks that we saw in chapter 1. No repeats in there. Those are all different identity marks of who we are, just in 2 chapters. So if I do my math correct, which is a dangerous thing to do on the spot, that's 18 different identity marks within two chapters of who we are in Jesus. And in fact, there are well over 30 different identity markers throughout the book of Ephesians about who we are in Christ. And I wish we had time to kind of walk through every single one of them, because all of them are amazing and speak into who we are and how we are meant to live our lives, that talk about our identity in Christ. We're just going to limit it to those two for this morning. So I want to ask the question. We learned about our identity in Christ. Why does this matter? And that may be a question you're asking. That's a great question. That's the right question. Why does our identity matter? What difference does it make? Yeah, I see that I'm a saint, that I'm a fellow citizen of God. Why does it matter? Let me give you three things. One, confidence. It builds our confidence. Knowing that we are in Christ reminds us that we have access to victory in every spiritual battle we fight. Every spiritual battle that I encounter, I know I have the ability to be victorious in that because I am in Christ. So it builds my confidence. And not only builds my confidence in the spiritual battles that we fight, it also builds confidence in sharing Jesus with others by reminding us of who we are apart from Jesus. So as I'm inviting someone to come and see who Jesus is, it allows me to relate with them, knowing that, man, I was in your shoes at one time. I was an enemy of God. I was a child of wrath. I was separated from the kingdom of God. And so I can relate with them and know that, hey, your sin is separating you from God just as much as my sin was. So it gives me confidence in being able to share with those who are separated from Jesus. So confidence is one thing of why it matters. Perspective is a second thing. It changes our perspective on life. Knowing who we are now in Christ creates a deep sense of gratitude, no matter what circumstance we find ourselves in. We talked a little bit about this when we talked about being blessed in Christ, that some of us may be walking through a really challenging season of life. And it changes our perspective to be able to walk through that knowing who we are in Christ. That, man, even though this is a really hard season of life, I can be thankful that I am in Christ, that these challenges will be washed away, that as a child of God, he is taking care of me, as we sang about, as he takes care of the lilies of the valley and the flowers of the field. If he takes care of them, he's going to take care of me as well, because I am in Christ. I am in Christ in a way that those flowers of the field are not in Christ. That is a wonderful truth that we can bank on. It helps remind us of God's ongoing work in our lives as we reflect on who we once were and now how we've grown in these characteristics since coming to Christ. You know, as I look back in my life, I surrendered my life over to Jesus when I was 12. I didn't become perfect right then. I'm not perfect right now. One of the beautiful things of my walk with Jesus, man, I can look back on my life and see the growth that has taken place. In fact, I keep a journal in my office that I wrote when I was in high school. That is really embarrassing to go back and read through, that I keep it simply for the purpose of it shows the growth in my life in Christ. I can look on who I once was. I believe I started that journal. No, I started it after I came to Christ, but there was a lot of growth that needed to happen and still a lot of growth that still needs to happen. But man, I can look back on that and rejoice and be like, whew, I'm glad I'm not at that baby stage of walking with Jesus anymore. I've grown past that. That is a beautiful thing. So it changes our perspective by reminding us of God's ongoing work in our lives. A third reason why this matters is reproduction. It helps us reproduce Christ in others. Think about 1 Corinthians 11:1. Paul says this, "Imitate me as I also imitate Christ." Who you see Christ in me, as I identify as a follower of Jesus, imitate that. I love the words of a guy named John C. Maxwell. He's an author and a public speaker. He says, "We teach what we know, but we reproduce who we are. We teach what we know, but we reproduce who we are. And this ties in to the five ways in which we grow really closely. We teach what we know. That's got to start there. So follow me. That connects to feed. So as we feed on Jesus, and as we're being fed by others teaching us, we learn. We know more about who Jesus is and his perfect design for our life. And that it has to start there. I can't become something that I don't know. So it's got to start there. So we teach what we know. And as we know, as we learn in our knowledge of who Jesus is and his perfect design for our life, then we become that. As I know who Jesus Christ is and know about his identity and plan for my life, I start to become that. And as I become that, then I can reproduce that in the lives of those around us. And that is our hope for this whole series, is that we will become those who reproduce Jesus in the lives of those around us. Not that we'll just stop with knowledge. We're great on the knowledge part. We do great about teaching others how to become like Jesus. We want to become like him and live that out and help others become like Jesus by reproducing that in our lives. So, I want to leave with this challenge that I mentioned at the very beginning. I want you to take note of one identity mark that you're living out well. We looked at 18 in Ephesians chapter 1 and 2. I want you to go out, if you got your handout, go ahead and get those out. If you don't have a handout, maybe grab a phone. I want you to mark this down. Take note of one identity mark you're living out well. There's lots of different identity marks in there. Maybe you identify as a saint. Maybe that's one identity mark that you're like, yes, I have fully accepted my sainthood. That is not for me, and I'm guessing that's probably not for most of us in here, just with the kind of cultural connection with what sainthood means. But maybe that is something that you don't struggle with, that you have fully adopted this understanding that, man, I am a saint in Jesus Christ. And so if that is your identity mark that you are living out well in your life, my challenge to you is this: how can I help a brother or sister around me who doesn't identify that really well to grow in that? If I have a brother or sister in Christ who is struggling with the fact that they are a saint in Jesus Christ, how do I come alongside them and help them to grow in that identity mark? Okay? So hopefully everybody's identified one that they connect with, that they resonate well with, that they feel like they're strong in this particular identity mark. And the second thing I want you to identify is identify one identity trait that you're not living out well, that you personally struggle with. Maybe it's the fact that we are blessed. As we talked about, maybe you're walking through a really tough season of life right now. And identifying with the fact that you are blessed in Jesus Christ is just really difficult for you right now. Because you recognize that, man, there's a lot that's falling apart in my life right now. My family's a mess. My finances are a mess. My house is falling apart. My car just broke down. Whatever it is, maybe you're really struggling right now with identifying as one who is blessed in Jesus Christ. And so whatever that identity mark is that you are struggling with right now, I want to give you a little bit of time to take that to the Lord and ask the Lord to help you to grow in that. One way is through accountability, maybe reaching out to a brother or sister in Christ who can help you further identify with that certain mark. I want to ask our band to come up on stage and to lead us in a time of worship. And as we think about this challenge of